The term two-spirit in Native American culture often describes a person possessing both male and female spirits, and they've been around well before the Santa Maria or the Mayflower dropped anchor. And while two-spirit has been used for Indians who identify as gay, bisexual, or transgender, many say there's more to it than that. KLCC's Brian Bull explores a community that's finding its voice again after generations of oppression, prejudice, and oversight.
Rock your style, there, stylist! Rock your style!
This summer, the annual powwow in Sillitz, Oregon, presented something subtle, yet powerful. Lisa Norton, a member of the Confederated Tribes of Sillitz Indians, explains.
It's a competition powwow, so people dance in categories, traditionally male or female. So one of the things that we wanted to do is ungender that. So we were able to post a sign that said we were an open and affirming powwow and that people could feel free to compete in the category they desired.
It was the first time such a sign was posted at the event. This pleased Jackie Cloud, a Chippewa who identifies as a two-spirit.
And I also saw two-spirit individuals out dancing. It was like, yeah, cool.
Cloud joined the other dancers.
You know, there's that twinge of excitement, exhilaration, you know, like, it's okay. And I commented to someone that I was with there at the powwow, and she said, that's where we need to be. That's where we need to be going. So I was very proud of the tribe of Sillitz to acknowledge that.
Through the centuries, there are accounts of Indians who dress differently than their assumed gender role would dictate. They perform duties opposite those roles as well. A man might wear a dress and help village women weave baskets or gather water, for instance. Lisa Tontanetti is an associate professor of English at Kansas State University. She says traditionally, the role of two-spirits was more about occupation than sexuality.
They would often help with children, so they would take up a role as protector, helper, and sometimes figures who were considered having spiritual power.
As for the term two-spirit, Tontanetti says it's relatively new.
The term itself wasn't coined until the 1990s. At the third annual Gay and Lesbian Conference in Winnipeg, it was purposely done to reject the term berdash, which anthropologists were using to talk about multiply gendered Indigenous people.
In 1835, Western artist George Catlin titled one of his works, Dance to the Berdash. It shows a group of Sauk and Fox tribesmen surrounding one happily dressed in woman's regalia. Catlin wrote,
"This is one of the most unaccountable and disgusting customs that I have ever met in the Indian country."
Catlin's contempt mirrored that of other institutions colonizing North America, including the church and European society as a whole.
"And for further account of it, I am constrained to refer the reader to the country where it is practiced, and where I should wish that it might be extinguished before it be more fully recorded."
As Western mores imprinted on tribal communities, two-spirits and others who didn't conform to Judeo-Christian gender roles were ridiculed, abused, shunned, or worse. Again, Lisa Tontanetti.
The traditions of two-spirit people, some would say by the 1930s and 1940s, had been driven out of a lot of Native nations. It became very difficult for people to be overtly two-spirit or gay and lesbian, as we would talk about those subject positions now.
Native Americans of transgender, gay, lesbian, or bisexual orientation face higher rates of suicide in a demographic already suffering rates above the national average. Advocates say family acceptance is key to helping fight feelings of depression and isolation. In a video about two-spirits by Basic Rights Oregon, Lummi tribal member Philip Hilaire recalls his estranged mother's visit to his Portland home on Christmas Eve.
And Paul and I were decorating our tree. And the doorbell rang, and I went to answer it, and it was my mom. And so she goes, "I just come down to make sure you're okay." That was probably the biggest obstacle in my life, is having her accept me.
Support also comes through events, including the International Two-Spirit Gathering, which Eugene hosted in 1991. A Two-Spirit Grand Entry was held during the Standing Rock Encampment, and there's a Two-Spirit Society in Portland. And since 2011, the largest Two-Spirit powwow has been held every year in San Francisco.
For me, the goal is not just to attend a Two-Spirit powwow, but to make all powwows welcoming for people who are Two-Spirit or might have a different gender identity. We shouldn't have to travel to San Francisco or Portland.
Back in Siletz, Lisa Norton reflects on her own tribe's efforts to be more inclusive. Some members still reject gay and transgender people, but Norton smiles big when she recalls how the new affirming powwow sign was received this summer.
There were several people that like, can we take pictures of that sign? Can we stand under that sign? An adult tribal member came up and read the sign and started crying, then proceeded to tell me about her 7-year-old child who identifies as transgendered, and that was the first time that she had felt complete acceptance in the powwow arena.
Recent actions by the Trump administration, including restrictions on transgender military personnel, have many in the Two-Spirit community wondering if the political climate is becoming less welcoming and safe. Corvallis resident and Two-Spirit Jackie Cloud isn't worried.
We were here hundreds of years ago, and we're going to be here 100-some years from now, flourishing, doing the best we can.
The important thing, Two-Spirit advocates say, is to keep talking about identity and acceptance, and recognizing traditions that may have been swept away during centuries of colonization. Brian Bull, KLCC News.
Funding for KLCC's Borders, Migration, and Belonging series provided by the Wayne Moore Center for Law and Politics at the University of Oregon.